Welcome to the Menopause Conversations podcast. My name's Angela Council, and I am your host for this podcast. And this is where you learn all about menopause, what is happening to your body, to your hormones, and life in general. Everything is changing, and sometimes it can seem really, really confusing. But this is where the confusion stops right now. This podcast will share with you everything you need to know about how you can navigate your menopause transition with ease. So sit back and enjoy the show. Bye for now. Welcome back to the Menopause Conversations podcast. It's Angela here, and it's been quite a while since I've put a podcast out, but I'm back on track. Got lots of things I want to talk to you about this year. So I've got a full list of topics that'll get us through just about to the end of the year. So, and if you've got any questions, please feel free to ask me, send them through to me at angela@angelacouncil.com or ask over in the Menopause Conversations Facebook group and I will answer them for you. But what I thought I'd start this year off with is talking about that dreaded meno belly and why diets don't work. Now, if you've been listening to me in the past, you will know that I work with women who are going through their menopause transition, who primarily are putting on weight, and no matter what they do, they can't lose it. They don't understand why they've put on the weight. It just seems to come out of nowhere and it just sticks like glue and won't move. So that's what I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about today. So if you're one of those women that has had that unexplained weight gain that just won't shift, you don't really know where it came from, what used to work, it doesn't work now, so you don't know what to do, then this episode is for you. What I'm going to talk about today is why this happens, the role that your reproductive hormones play, the role that other hormones play, because these are really, really important, inflammation, and we're going to touch a little bit on diet culture and how it influences the way we see what we should be doing when it comes to losing weight. So let's just start with why does all this happen? And why does it seem like it all happens all at once? It actually isn't happening all at once, but as we start to lose our reproductive hormones, so our estrogen and our progesterone primarily, things are changing within our body. And, you know, this shift in hormones can start from as early as your late 30s in your early 40s. And, it's a gradual downward trend, and sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. And it's over time that where actually this weight starts to come on, even though sometimes it might seem like it just kind of popped on overnight. It didn't really. But it's important to know that estrogen and progesterone are very protective hormones. So they protect us. They're designed to keep us alive so that we can keep reproducing. That's the way the female body is made, is to be having babies. Whether or not you choose to or not is another thing. But we are... our bodies are made to be having babies. And so when we've got these reproductive hormones, they are very protective. And that means that we can get away with things in our younger years that we can't necessarily get away with as we get older, because we lose that protection of estrogen. So, and another thing that happens too, as your estrogen levels come down, our body actually can store some estrogen in fat. So because the brain's kind of going, I want more estrogen, and the ovaries aren't producing the estrogen, the body kind of goes, okay, fine, well, what I've got to do is I've got to hold on to whatever estrogen I've got, and it's actually stored in fat cells so it won't release fat. So that's one of the reasons that many women have this excess fat that won't be shifted. It's just that the change from your ovaries producing as much estrogen as used to the adrenal glands, which is now going to produce the estrogen at a lesser level. But the brain takes a while to catch up with this. It takes a while to realize that there is this shift in hormones. But we do need to be looking at other hormones as well. Now, I'm going to go through a few of them, because all of these can have an impact on your ability to lose weight and why you might actually be gaining weight. So the thyroid, we need to understand what's going on with the thyroid. many women have an underactive thyroid. Now, some have autoimmune conditions, so Hashimoto's, it's actually diagnosed, and they might be have medication for that. Some women have had a thyroid removed and then they're on lifelong medication for that as well. But then there's still many women who have what we call subclinical hypothyroidism. So it's a thyroid that's not functioning at its best. It's not, the hormone levels are not low enough to be putting you into a clinical thyroid condition, but it, your thyroid's just not working the best. And many, many women have this issue with their thyroid. It's just not functioning as well as it could do. And most of that is due to our lifestyle, due to stress, and due to the foods that we're eating. It impacts the thyroid. And if you're, the liver plays a really important role in conversion of thyroid hormones. So if your liver's not in optimal health either, often due to alcohol consumption and other exposures to toxins, then the thyroid function can be low because it means that T3, which is the active hormone, is not, there's not as much of that, so the thyroid isn't as active. Now, another hormone we need to be aware of is cortisol. Now, cortisol is our stress hormone, and it's released from the adrenal glands. And when our body is stressed, it changes the way the body functions. So when cortisol is released, adrenaline is also a stress hormone, and it's like the immediate stress. It comes out for a short amount of time and then disappears, and now we have cortisol, which is long-term stress, which many of us are under. We're living in a very stressful world, particularly the last few years. You know, there's been a lot of things that are going on, a lot of stress, and I think we can kind of get used to this low-level stress that's just this chronic stress that's running all the time and think that I don't have stress in my life, but really it's just ongoing all of the time. So the way cortisol works is when our cortisol levels are up, there's a few things that happen. And number one is our digestive system comes down, so we're not digesting food properly. So when we're not digesting food properly, we're not getting nutrient absorption. Also lowers our immune system. It can increase our inflammation. The body is stressed. It can impact our insulin, which I'm going to be talking about in a minute, which is how we manage our blood sugar levels. Also impacts our thyroid. So cortisol impacts many different functions or organs within the body, and it's a crucial part of the endocrine system. And when we look at the way the human body evolved, it really hasn't evolved that much differently to what it was tens of thousands of years ago when we were kind of wandering the earth as cave women. And what cortisol is designed to do is to keep us alive. So it keeps the brain on alert, and there's a part of the brain known as the primitive brain or the reptilian brain, and it's on alert. And when it gets triggered, it tells the adrenal glands to release this hormone. And what happens is when we've got all this hormone being released all the time, the body starts storing fat because this primitive part of the brain thinks, I'm under threat. I need to make sure that I've got enough food, I've got enough resources, because there might be a famine, or I might be running away from the tiger for a very long time. So what it does is whatever food you might be eating, it actually stores that as fat, and it'll store that as fat around the belly. And this is, you know, the typical meno belly. And a lot of it, a vast majority of it, is due to the stress that we are under living in the world that we live in. And I'll talk a little bit more about stress in a minute. Insulin is a hormone that regulates, insulin helps to regulate our blood sugar level. It's released from the pancreas. When we eat foods that have got glucose or sugar in it or carbohydrates in it, the role of insulin is basically to open up the doors in the cell to allow the sugar to go in there to be stored as energy. So it can be used as energy. And then once the cell is full of energy, then insulin closes down the gates in the cells. And when we've got all our cells that are full of energy, what happens then is insulin then stores any extra sugars, glucose, carbohydrates as fat, because the cells now are full of energy. They don't need any more. But we've still got this food coming in. So insulin goes and stores that as fat. around the belly, because it needs to be able to access it easily. And when it puts it around the belly, it's easy to get it. Now, the problem is when you're continually putting these foods into your body, insulin kind of, it gets resistant to the glucose in the blood, and it stops opening the doors of the cells, and it stops taking the energy into storing the cells, and it just keeps storing everything as fat. So all everything that comes in, it gets stored as fat. So the cells don't have energy, so your energy levels come down, and we've got more fat being stored because insulin is basically just shunting everything to fat rather than into energy. And this is called insulin resistance. And this is very, very common for women as they're going through the menopause transition. And one of the key reasons is because estrogen protects us against insulin resistance. It's one of the things that estrogen does. And but when the estrogen levels start to come down, and you're eating the foods that are basically are triggering this insulin response all the time, now estrogen kind of isn't sitting there as the middleman to stop that response, the insulin resistance response. What it's doing is now the body's just going, okay, just put everything into fat. We'll just store everything as fat because insulin is really confused. It doesn't know what to do. And insulin resistance is kind of, it's also called pre-diabetes, because if you don't address insulin resistance, you are at a higher risk of getting diabetes. Then other hormones we need to be looking at are ghrelin and leptin. So these are our hungry hormones and our feel full hormones. And when they're out of balance, you'll find that you're always hungry and you're always craving foods, and you never kind of get that switch off, I'm full feeling. And ghrelin and leptin are actually balanced up at nighttime. So if you're not getting a good night's sleep, this can come out of balance. And then what we've got is, and you probably already know it, that when you're really, really tired, you tend to be eating foods, and not really because you're hungry, but you know, because you don't need the food, but you're just eating it. You just find you've got this hunger, and that's because, and you don't stop eating. And that's because your ghrelin and leptin is out of balance. So sleep plays a really big role in that. So then when we're talking about sleep, we've got melatonin, which is our sleep hormone. And melatonin and cortisol basically work opposite to each other. So when cortisol is high, melatonin is low. And when melatonin is high, cortisol is low. And this is because cortisol comes up in the morning when we wake up. So it's kind of like our wake-up hormone, and melatonin is our go-to-sleep hormone. But for many women, this can be out of balance, and cortisol stays high at the end of the day when it should be coming down, and melatonin can't come up because cortisol's too high. So now you're not sleeping properly. So when you're not sleeping properly, you've got this issue with the ghrelin and the leptin. So your hunger and your satiety, your cortisol levels are up, which is why because your melatonin levels are down. So everything's kind of out of balance. And then also the thyroid is also being impacted by all of this as well. So it's not just the reproductive hormones that we need to be concerned about. We need to be looking at all of the hormones across the endocrine system. And the other thing that plays a big role in this weight gain, and this is particularly if you notice that your weight kind of fluctuates up and down, even on a daily basis, and this is due to inflammation. And it comes primarily from the food you're eating. So certain foods are what we call inflammatory, and what they do is they inflame the body. So inflammation basically just means on fire. And it means that there is cell damage happening. So an easy way to explain inflammation in an acute form is if you twist your ankle. You twist your ankle and it starts to swell up. It's sore, it's red. Now that's acute inflammation, and we want that because as the swelling it actually kind of immobilizes the joint so that you don't move it and you don't cause any more damage. And then all the fluid comes in, a lot of blood comes to the area and starts to repair the cells. So that's acute, and that is a good thing. We want that to happen because it repairs everything really quickly. But when we have chronic inflammation, we don't want that. So what we've got now is that there are cells being damaged, and the body's trying to repair it all the time, but you're continually putting foods in that are continuing to damage cells. So the body's now in overdrive of inflammation. Now, high levels of inflammation is very stressful on the body. So we've got more stress going on here. And this is where you can sometimes find that if you eat a certain food, your weight will go up. You know, it can go up 300 grams and then the next day it might come down. So if you notice that your weight does that, more than likely it's due to food. It's inflammatory food, because your body is basically bringing a whole, it's actually holding on to fluid. And some people will actually see this in that they find swelling in their joints and ankles, and that's inflammation as well. And generally that is due to food as well. So some foods called inflammation. Now there's some common foods that cause inflammation, and they're your processed foods, your sugary foods, alcohol is inflammatory. For some people, there's other things. So gluten and dairy can be, wheat and dairy can be inflammatory as well. Red meat can also be inflammatory if you're having too much of it. But it really depends on the person. Like there's some across the board foods that are inflammatory, and they're your processed foods, your alcohol, your sugars and things like that. We know that they inflame the body. But then other foods, it is a personal thing. It depends on how your gut, what's going on with your gut, what else is going on with your hormones and your other body systems, whether or not other foods might be inflammatory for you. So this is part of the work that I do with my women within the Embrace program, is identifying where they're at genetically, also what's going on with their health. So we can actually take out the inflammatory foods for a while and allow the body to heal itself and bring down that fluid, and generally it brings down the weight. And once the body has healed itself, sometimes we can introduce some of those foods back in again. Other times we can't. It just really depends on what the body is, because some foods are not good for different body types. And the other thing I think we really do need to mention is the diet culture that many of us have grown up with. We've grown up with this this idea that we need to eat less and exercise more, and if we do that we're going to lose weight. And if you've tried that in recent years, you'll probably know it's not working now that you're in the menopause transition or beyond, because it doesn't work. And this is kind of the diet mentality, and where we kind of thought we've just got to restrict ourselves. And really, who wants to be on a diet? I don't know about you, but I think I've got to an age where I don't ever want to be on a diet again. I've done too many of them. It's like, why? They don't work. They're short term. You do it for a short term, and then when you finish, you go back to doing what you were doing before, because it's not sustainable, and you get back to where you were or worse than what you were before. So this diet culture of eating less and exercising more doesn't work. And some of the key reasons for that is, number one, when you're eating less, your body's looking for nutrition. It's not necessarily looking for food, it's looking for nutrition, and nutrition comes packaged in foods from nature. But there's a lot of food that we eat that doesn't have any nutrition in it, particularly if it's made in a factory. So when you're eating a lot of that food, basically your body is starving for nutrition, and it's going to tell you it wants more. And that's when you can kind of get food cravings, because the body's not craving that particular food. What it's craving is the nutrients that you haven't given it. And when you eat less, that primitive part of your brain says, danger, 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 we're going into a famine. We're not going to get any food. You know, food's being deprived. So when food's deprived, when we're in a famine, what the body does is it holds on to fat, because it doesn't know when it's going to get fed again. And if you're dieting, then it doesn't know when it gets fed. Now, I just want to really just make a point about this too. Dieting is a little bit different to fasting. I don't want to get into diet names, but for some bodies, some body types, having two meals a day is fine, so long as they're highly nutritious meals, because that's all their body type requires, where other body types require five meals a day. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the diet where you restrict your calories. We don't want to restrict your calories, because the brain then goes danger, danger, danger. And then the other thing is exercising more. And I've seen this so often over the years. I've got, you know, women who is going, but I'm going to the gym and I'm pumping it out and going, you know, for an hour, 2 hours a day, and I'm not losing any weight. Exercise is a stress. Now, it is good for us, but it's a stress on the body. And some bodies are designed to have like longer endurance style exercise, and other bodies are designed more for intense sprints type of exercise. And if you're doing the wrong type of exercise and doing it for you over exercising, this can be highly stressful. I had one client who was working with me in the Embrace program, and she has a body that's able, you know, quite able to build muscle quite easily and can really do some intense exercise. But when I spoke to her, because she said, oh, I'm just exercising, I'm training for a marathon, but I can't lose weight. And I said, okay, so let's talk about this training for a marathon. And look, training for a marathon is highly stressful on the body, but if you're only doing it for a short amount of time, that's fine. We know that the body can cope with short amounts of stress, but if you keep doing it, then there's an issue and it can cause health issues. And I said to her, so you said you're doing marathon training, so when's the marathon? She says, oh, well, actually, no, there's no marathon, but I'm just doing the same training that I used to do when I was running marathons. So she was in a long-term habit of doing this really heavy load of exercise as if she was training for a marathon, and she couldn't lose weight. And that's because her body is designed more for the shorter, intense exercise, not for the long endurance exercise. And because now she was postmenopausal, her body couldn't cope with all of that stress, with the amount of exercise that she was doing every single day. The body basically thought, that primitive part of the brain thought, she was running away from a tiger every single day. So it was holding onto that fat as much as it could, because it didn't know when it was, the body didn't know when it was going to eat again, and it didn't want to be, you know, dinner for the tiger. So when we kind of brought her back to a more, I'm going to say normal exercise regime for her body type, which was short, intense sessions, 20 minutes twice a day, that just changed it. Everything just changed, because in 20 minutes, the body wasn't getting overly stressed. It was over and done within 20 minutes. So there was a little bit of stress, but then the body recovered. And she just started to notice that all the weight came off. She wasn't storing that fat anymore, because the brain didn't think that it was running away from a tiger continuously. So when it comes to, you know, losing and dropping this this excess weight that you're holding on to, it's really important that you need to think differently, because your body doesn't work the way it did before when your hormone levels were higher, when estrogen and progesterone were higher. The body doesn't work the same way. You do not have a 20-year-old body anymore. You know, not even just in the way you look, but the way it works differently because of the change in the hormones. So it takes a different way of thinking and actually looking at how you can nourish your body and look after your body and treat your body the way it wants to be treated, rather than basically, for want of a better word, abusing it with a diet and heavy exercise, which is only going to cause more stress. So when it comes to losing weight, I invite you to actually not focus on losing weight. Our brain doesn't do losing very well. It doesn't want to lose anything. And when you're focusing on losing, subconsciously your body is actually holding on because it doesn't want to lose. So you focus on what you want to gain. So what would you gain? And what freedom would you gain? What mobility would you gain? What would you be able to do? Rather than, if I lose weight, I will be happy. Happiness doesn't come with the weight. Happiness comes from inside. You know, there's lots of, you know, thin, unhappy people around. But what would you gain if your body was healthy, if your body could move? What would you gain if you felt better about the way you looked and feel? Then we look at, how do we reduce that stress? How do we bring those cortisol levels down? By looking at what's going on in our life. Now, there's some things that are out of your control and there's some things that are in your control. So we focus on what is in your control. And that's eating nutritious food, foods that are full of nutrients. That's what comes from nature. More, probably more vegetables. Doesn't mean you have to be vegan. You don't have to be vegetarian. They're just labels. You know, yes, if you want to have animal products, have them, but don't have as much as what you know. So make sure you've got more vegetables in your diet, not more animal protein. You can get protein from plant foods. It's quite possible to do that. But just getting that good mix and taking out the processed foods, drinking more water. It's amazing what a difference drinking water will make on the way your body works, particularly if it's inflamed, because it'll help to bring some of that inflammation down. So drinking more water makes a massive difference. And if you're feeling hungry, if you have some water first, then sometimes you actually realize you're not hungry, you're really thirsty. Because dehydration, one of the symptoms of dehydration is actually hunger. But if you actually have the water, you find out, actually, I'm not hungry. What I wanted was I actually wanted to rehydrate myself. Alcohol, and I know this is something that many women don't want to hear, but alcohol is inflammatory. And the other thing it does is for every glass of alcohol that you have will stop fat burning for 24 hours. So that glass of wine that you're having every night to kind of, lament the fact that you can't lose weight is actually part of the reason why you can't lose weight, because you're stopping your fat burning. Because the alcohol is a poison in your body. Your body goes into a stress response and it shuts down fat burning because it's trying to save itself. It's got to save the brain. Alcohol can cross the blood-brain barrier. The body actually is trying to save the brain from the alcohol because alcohol damages the brain. So it shuts everything down. And focuses only on clearing the alcohol out of your body. And that means it shuts down fat burning as well. So just be aware of that. Now, does that mean you have to go 100% off? No, it doesn't. But just be aware that when you do drink alcohol, that it's going to impact your ability to burn that fat. So maybe it becomes an occasional thing rather than everyday thing. And then, just over time, maybe you won't be drinking as much because you'll find out that you actually don't feel that great after having it. Our bodies, women's bodies, as they come through the menopause transition and beyond, really don't cope with alcohol that well at all. And part of that's due to the change in hormones. Also, getting a better night's sleep. Being able to get a better night's sleep helps to balance up a lot of these hormones. So what can you do to be sleeping better? Is it turning off devices earlier in the night? Is it getting to bed at the time that works best for you? So there's a whole pile of things, and I'll be doing a podcast on sleep, but there's a whole pile of things you can do to manage sleep better and get a better night's sleep. But starting with eating the right foods and not eating too late, that's a good place to start. Drinking water, not drinking alcohol. Alcohol will disturb your sleep, it'll give you hot flushes, it'll give you night sweats. So all of these things are going to help with the sleep, and then when you sleep more, you stress less. And then look at your movement. Do you need to move less or do you need to move more? And, if you're doing a lot of exercise and you're not losing weight, consider that you need to drop back on that exercise. So listen to your body. It will tell you. It will tell you when it gets energized from exercise or when it gets drained in energy. It's not unusual if you've done a heavy session to be a little bit tired, but you shouldn't be constantly tired from exercise. If you are, then you've got to be looking at, am I doing the right type of exercise? Am I doing the right amount of exercise? Am I doing it at the right time? Timing plays a big difference as well. And this is where taking a personalized approach helps, because when you understand how your body works and know that everyone is different, what works for one person may not work for another, and understanding the differences in different bodies. Some bodies are tall and thin and some other bodies are short and rounder. So we're all different. But to say that we all need to be exercising the same way, or we need to be eating the same way, it just doesn't make sense, because our bodies are completely different. What a tall, thin person requires when it comes to movement and food is different to what a short, rounder person requires. So we need to understand that. And that is actually what we do within the Embrace program, is I help women understand what's going on with their body and embrace their body for the way it is and the strengths that it has. And when they can eat the foods and the timings and all that, do that the way their body is designed, because that's the way their body was designed, then they get so many great results. So if you want to learn a little bit more, why not grab a copy of my ebook, The Secret to Getting Rid of Your Meno Belly. And the link for that is bit.ly, so bit.ly/menobelly_ebook. bit.ly/menobelly_ebook. And I'll put those that in the show notes for you. So I want to thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Menopause Conversations podcast. I'll be back next week with some more great topics, great things to talk to you about when it comes to, you know, thriving through this time of life and addressing some of the common questions that come up. Now, if you know other women who might be interested in hearing this, please feel free, share this episode, share the entire podcast with your friends, your family, anyone you think might be interested. And, you know, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave me a rating and review, particularly if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, because it's kind of, they're kind of the big ones in the game. And if you can leave a review, then other women can find us. So thank you. And I will be back next week with another episode of Menopause Conversations. Bye for now.